George, I was singing that, and thank God for it, such that He put on the singing, and anointing is what makes it really come to your heart and live there. Brother Brian Gill was going to come preach to us and for us in that. Pray much for him. And I won't take time to thank all the people that works in their sound system that sends the broadcast out by way of internet, get several phone calls during the week, emails across the country, saying they watch our program and what a blessing it is. And if you're homebound, you appreciate that even more. So that's possible because the people that are dedicated to work, and Brother Brian says a lot of that. And we're so wonderfully blessed that we have that ability today, so when people can't be here, and a lot of people, you know, like I say, different parts of the world, it's a wonderful thing. Not like being here, but the second best. But Brian, appreciate you, brother.
Turning your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 8. We're going to have to go old school tonight. We don't have the screens tonight. Computer drives the screens went out this afternoon, and we're still streaming, we're still recording, we're still online, but you won't have the screens tonight. But that's okay. You know, technology is good when it works. But that got me thinking, sitting down there, you know, we got to resort to this tonight. Ain't nothing wrong with that, are they? It's going to be there. Whether the electricity's on, whether the internet's on, or anything else, we still have God's Word, and it's sure. One other note, deacons, remember we got a meeting after the service tonight. But Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 26. We'll be reading down to verse 39. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You tonight. God, we just ask that Your will would be spoken tonight. That You would accomplish through Your Word what You want to accomplish tonight. Just be in control. Be in charge. We just submit to You tonight, dear Lord. God, be with us now as we look at Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see a very familiar story. We can find this account in Matthew and in Mark as well. Some people say that this is a contradiction in the Bible. If you read the account of Matthew, it talks about there were two men possessed with devils. But I'm here to tell you that there's no contradictions in the Word of God. Yes, it talks about two men, but if you read these three accounts, Mark and Luke are more specifically about this one man who Jesus changed his life, and He turned his life over to Him and received Him as Lord and Savior. And that's what the focus is in those two books. In Matthew, it's more focused on Jesus casting out the devil. So tonight, I want to look at this story twofold. I want to look first at what the devil said to Jesus. He says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Now we know the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. And if you notice what he done here, he immediately came to Jesus and kneeled before Him. Even the devils revere who God is. But you see, he had a head knowledge and a head belief of who Jesus is. He didn't have a heart belief. These devils, you remember the account when the devil and his angels tried to set themselves up above God and God cast them out? Their destination and destruction was already determined. That they would be in eternity forever and ever. And we see here that this saying is not in respect. It's more condescending and more sarcastic. Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do. They did what they had to do because they knew they had to kneel at the feet of Jesus. And by the way, one of these days, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether that's the devil himself and his angels or any of us, we're all going to fall at the feet of Jesus. And that's what they did here. They recognized who he was. And they knew who he was. In Matthew it says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" See, they already know their destination. And they didn't want to go. That's why they petitioned God, "Hey, throw us into the swine. Don't throw us in the deep." That word deep is the same word as the bottomless pit in Revelation. That eternal destination for the devil and his angels. But as I was dwelling on this message, it reminded me of one of my cousins. He says he believes in Jesus, but he also says, "I know I'm going to hell." So he has a head knowledge of Jesus, but he doesn't have a heart. And I pray for him all the time. We've talked to him numerous times. I don't know if he's too far gone. Only God knows that. But pray with me that God would deliver him one of these days. But that's the difference here. And if you read the accounts in all the Gospels where Jesus cast out demons and devils, every time he does that, they recognize who Jesus is. In Mark 1, it says, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Luke says, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. He doesn't want the people to see that these devils were proclaiming who he was. But as I mentioned before, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, I want to try to change gears here. We've seen the destination and the reverence that the devils were required to do. But now I want to change and look at the man who God changed. That man that he delivered. That man that would sing, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. That man that would sing, he reached way down for me. He was in chains and bondage. And it says the devil forced him into the wilderness. He had no choice. He had such a hold on him. But Jesus. And then the last song it was sung, thinking about that other country. You know, we get to dwelling on the condition of this world, the condition of our country, our personal conditions and things we're going through, and it's kind of discouraging. But when you start focusing on that other country, that precious shore that one of these days we're going to cross into, all that stuff doesn't matter. I was talking to a fellow apple grower this week. It's going to be a tough year getting rid of our apples, and we were talking about that. And then we got to talking about, hey, one of these days the Lord's going to come. And we're not going to have to worry about selling these apples and toiling and worrying about trying to figure out what we're going to do. All that seems petty. All that seems small compared to what God has in store for us. So let's look at this man that God delivered here of the devils. And I just want to preface with this verse in John. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's two destinations, heaven and hell. Everlasting life or eternal destruction. Let's look at this man just a minute. As I mentioned before, he was in bondage, he was in chains, and God delivered him. Let's go down to verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. I thought about this. How would we react if we were in this city? You know, we that are God's children, would we really accept what Jesus did? Or would we be frightened, to be fearful, as these people were? But you got to think about what God's doing for this man here. He's delivering him. He's saving him, pulling him out of this bondage and darkness and prison that the devil has put him in. And he can do that for every one of us. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of him. He was no longer in bondage. He no longer had chains. He was no longer naked. It says he's clothed and in his right mind. and they were afraid. Well, that could be a spiritual fearfulness, and that's okay. But he was in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's when he could see that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." He's at the feet, wanting to be with Jesus. Skip down to verse 38. It says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departing besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." First thing he wanted to do, he wanted to be with Jesus. That's what we need to be. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to want to be with him. He wanted to be in the center of it all, but Jesus didn't want him there with him. He didn't want him to be one of the disciples. He had another job. And he says, "Go out and tell what great things God has done unto thee." And he did that. And he published it. And we don't know how many people that affected. But we know that God changed his life and God accomplished great things through him. And just for a few minutes, I want to look at a few accounts of conversion of people in the Bible, just like this man. The first one I want to look at is Peter. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 16, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, some said Elijah, some said John the Baptist. But then Jesus says, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter jumps out and says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, Peter had that heart knowledge of who Jesus was. God changed his heart. God changed his life. He submitted his life to him. You remember, and I don't remember where it's at, God asked the disciples, "Where are you going to go? You know, are you going to go too?" And they says, "Where are we going to go, Lord? We want to be here with you. We have no other place to go." And this morning, Philip Drake was teaching Sunday school and teaching in John, and he's talking about Peter. When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and you remember Peter, he's like, "You're not so, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet." But listen to what Jesus says. He says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." In this next verse, it just touched me. He says, "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my head and my hands. I want all of you, Lord. I want you to wash all of me, because I need to be washed." You know, that's what happens when we transform from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge, is we finally realize that we have no other option. We have no other hope. We have no other goal that we can look to except submitting and humbling ourselves before God and saying, "God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me for my sins. God, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. God, I want to have a personal relationship with you." We have to humble ourselves. And that's when God transforms and His Spirit comes into our lives like He did Peter. He says, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." That's when God starts coming and He lives in your heart and changes you, and you become a new person, a new man. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Then I think about the thief on the cross. Here we see both aspects again. We see a man who's got a head knowledge of Christ, but he's condescending. He's like, if thou art the Christ, why don't you save yourselves and us? But what did the other thief say? He says, he rebuked him and said, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? See, that man already realized he had no hope. He was getting ready to die. He realized he was a sinner and he deserved the punishment that was coming to him. And he says, we deserve this. But then he cried out to him, God, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. He let it all out there. He humbled himself and said, God, I need you. You're my only hope. And then Jesus said, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me. And that's what he says to each and every one of us when we submit ourselves and humble ourselves before him. These devils, this other thief, were proud and holy. The devil and his angels, when they tried to set themselves up above God, were proud, and pride came in. God can't work with that. Got to humble ourselves. We're nothing. We're not worthy to even call on his name. But he says, call on my name, and I'll save you, and I'll forgive you, and I'll give you righteousness, and I'll give you eternal life. Another example is the Ethiopian eunuch. God led Philip to preach to him about Jesus. He found him reading God's Word. He was trying to figure things out and know what's going on. And then the eunuch says, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Says, and Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip, the eunuch, and he baptized him. We see here that they finally received Lord Jesus Christ. They finally, their eyes were open. The devil no more blinded them. The devil no more had them in chains. The devil no more confused them. God, we need to pray that God would open the eyes of this country and this world to the truth, not be blinded by false. You know, as I was thinking about this, and I'm sharing these little examples. Sometimes we call them stories, but I don't like to call them stories. Some of you probably remember this. When I was growing up, my grandmother, she would correct us, she would discipline us and said, you're telling stories. I mean, you're telling lies. You know? These are not stories. You know, stories are fairy tales or something in children's books or something like that. But this is God's Word. This is truth. This is not stories. This is 100% truth, and it's going to last forever. And as I was thinking about the screens being down and, you know, and us having to look at God's Word, God brought to mind back before my dad became a pastor, he was in the Gideons. And he would, you know, how they share different stories of how God's Word accomplishes and people's lives are changed. And I remember this when I was a kid. He was a Gideon, and he told this story, and I'll never forget it. And that's kind of what I use as a basis with the Awana Bibles. You know, we just give Bibles out ever how God sees fit. And God's going to accomplish. He knows whose hands those Bibles are going to come. But this, you know how they used to go to prison, or they may still go to prisons, but they give prison, you know, prisoners Bibles, and I looked one day and a guy walked over to the trash can and there was a Bible, Gideon Bible, down in the trash can. And he reached down and grabbed it and started reading. And he got gloriously saved. And he shared that with the Gideons. He wrote the Gideons and, you know, told them what happened, you know. There's power in reading God's Word. You know, we sometimes negate the power of God. Sometimes we negate that God has the power to cast out devils. Sometimes we negate that God has power to raise the dead. But He does. Do you believe it? It's in His Word. Or do we doubt and fear like these people did when He cast out those devils? One other, I started to say story. One other example here, the Philippian jailer. And y'all know the story, I'm not going to go into it, but it says he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. And he and all his straightway, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You see here, believe on the Lord Jesus. And thou shalt. I remember reading other accounts, and I don't remember where it was, but I remember reading, and I thought I had it down here, but I don't. It says that he believed with his whole heart when God changed it. It wasn't just part of it. He believed with his whole heart. So he received the full heart transformation and believed totally with his heart that God saved him, and he believed on him and was delivered. I want to close with a scripture in Matthew chapter 25. You remember the parable of the sheep and the goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. I'm not being political here. This is in God's Word. It says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what we have for us that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 41 says, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil." We're either going to receive everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're going to have our destination determined just like these devils did, into that eternal destruction. It says in verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." There's only two ways. Two ways. The world will try to tell you there's many ways, many destinations, many ways to serve God, many ways to go to heaven. Now, there's only one way, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and belief on Him. Randy, I don't know if you can do it without the screens, but can you sing that song for the invitation, "I Love You, Lord," done this morning? As they're getting that ready, I'm going to leave you with four challenges that I believe that God would have us look at tonight, real quick. There's four things that we can get out of this message. The first one, most important, is do you have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Have you humbled yourself before Him and said, God, I'm a sinner and I have no more hope and I need hope and I need eternal life and I need You to be Savior of my life and I need You to save me from my sins? Maybe you're on the internet and you're watching this. Maybe you're watching this sermon in the future. Sorry. Is God dealing with you tonight to have a heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and not a head knowledge? We've already seen that the devils believe and tremble. The devils know who Jesus is. They kneel at His feet and recognize Him for who He is. We even have people in this world that say they're atheists and agnostics and don't even believe in God. Even the devils believe. But do you believe? And do you have that heart knowledge? Second, you that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our challenge is this. Just like Jesus challenged this man that was delivered from the devils to go out and do things, but do you want to deepen that relationship with Him? To go just beyond belief into a more close and special relationship with Him? A place where you know Him like this. A place where you commune with Him day in and day out, not just on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but every day, every minute, every hour. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's what I'm talking about, that personal relationship with Him. That He's involved in every aspect of your life. To grow closer and closer to Him. A way that you've never seen Him before. This year, our theme verse in Awana is, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And yeah, that's referring to what He's preparing for us in heaven. But we don't know what He has prepared for us for tomorrow here on this earth unless we develop that relationship with Him. We have to spend time with Him and desire to go just beyond that point of belief. And then thirdly, and it's hand in hand with this too, reflect back on the time that God delivered you and saved you and dwell on that experience and that special time. The special time that He changed you and give you a heart knowledge of Him. That's only going to strengthen your relationship with Him and strengthen your salvation and strengthen and get, just push out doubt. When doubt tries to creep in, that's when Satan tries to capitalize. Anytime Satan tries to get you to doubt about your salvation, point him back to that time that God delivered you. He can't argue with that. He can't say, He didn't really save you. Salvation experience is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I can remember, I've probably shared this before, but in years past, I used to doubt my salvation. And I shared this with my kids. I can remember one time I was doubting it, and the Lord says, Brian, you're not doubting your salvation. You're doubting that what I did on the cross was enough to save you from your sins and give you eternal life. He says, I died for you and what I did was enough to cover your sins and everybody else. You know, we try to say, we've got to do it this way, and this way. No. Reflect back on that time that God saved you and give you a heart knowledge of Him. And then lastly, number four, take that faith, take that personal relationship with Him, and let your light shine in the dark world. Because God can use that to change people. That's what He called the man, Legion. Wasn't Legion anymore. I bet he's got a new name. We're all going to have a new name one of these days. He changed him. Let people know what God has done in your life. Share with them the salvation. It don't have to be some great testimony. But if you look at everybody that's saved, there's only one central thing, and that's Jesus. What He did for you. What He did for you. He died on that cross. He loved each and every one of us the same. He loved us more than we could ever imagine. That agape love that's beyond our understanding. He loved us so much that He died for us so that we can have everlasting life. That's everybody's testimony. God may have been delivered people from different things, and that's great. And that's special. But you see, it all comes down to that one simple thing, is what Jesus did for us when He died for us. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference, is what He did. And when He changes our hearts, and He changes our whole heart to serve Him and depend upon Him and love Him. So now as they sing that song, I want you to ask the Lord what He would have you to do. He may want you to do something tonight here at this altar. But this is a life-changing thing, what Jesus did for us. It's not just for tonight. It's forever and ever and ever. And for tomorrow. And the next day. And for eternity. So, whatever God has called you to do, you come, or tomorrow, whenever God is dealing with you and calling you to do what He'd have you to do. And again, if you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you need to come now if He's dealing with you. Come now. Brother Randy.
We'll start with a chorus. Let's everyone stand.
was lost upon the flames of sin. Once was a slave to doubts and fears within. Once was afraid to trust a loving God. But now my guilt is washed away in Jesus' blood. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I live, to tell the world the peace that He alone can give. Say, I love You. I love You. I love You. Because You first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Still have 15 hours playing. God for the message. God's Word is living Word. Love that song. Tell Jesus, we always tell that, whether we're in church or not. I'm sure a lot of things mean more personal to us in your life. When I go back home where I got saved, that's personal. When I go back to where I was born and reared up on the mountain and go to places where God met with me, that's special. And every time I hear that song, remember the first time I ever heard it, Camp Zion, 44 years ago, first song we sang when we got there, every year, twice a year, and then we sang and went, God just anoints that song. When you tell Him, you love Him back, because He first loved me. Thank God, thank God. We can sing and we can rejoice and make a melody in our heart. Thank God for always done for us today and for every day. A lot of people in our church are sick, afflicted. Let's pray for them. Pray for the needs of our nation, for the peace in Jerusalem. All my hearts clear. Then want God to know you do that, everyone. Okay. Father, you can be seated for a minute.
Before we dismiss tonight, I was asked to remind everyone about each meeting that immediately following the service, they'll be meeting in the Dorcas Sunday School class. That's after service. Also, Brother Gary asked me to remind everyone if you want to receive the DVDs for the revival, Brother Darren, there's many out there. He has those ready. They're in the lobby on the table where the directors are. And Brother Brian already mentioned also the deacons meeting following the evening service.
Thank you. The committee that worked so hard doing that for all the committees, for all the pictures. Your friend of mine I've known for many, many years, cut those pictures. He's so willing to go do everything he does is free of charge. Pray for him. Pray that he needs salvation. And let's just pray for a special touch of God to do that. But keep those going to come and pray with us and for us as we lift their hearts up into the Lord in thankfulness for a good day in the Lord, for another good day in the Lord tomorrow, for the rain He's given it. You don't have to think about what you're going to ask to thank Him for. It just comes naturally.